by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home.
Jesus, sorry when a stranger wandered from the home.
He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. To grace a greater debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee.
From the Father, Lord, I feel it, from the labor, God alone.
Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy hopes above. Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we thank you for this time that you have given us together and worship together as your children, in house and also online. We thank you for your grace and mercy that you shower upon us every day. Even when we don't deserve it, Lord, you give us more than what we ever deserve and what we ever need. Lord, we marvel at your majesty and power this morning, and we are astonished by the mystery of your redeeming love, by the way you sent your Son to this world to be a sacrifice for us on the cross of Calvary, so that we are all gathered here as your children. Also, thank you for your protection and care that you give us every day in spite of what we are and what we do. We come before you today, dear Lord, and acknowledge you as our God and Savior. We thank you for your grace and redemption, Lord, and also the sustaining grace that you keep with us every day. Lord, thank you for your presence in our midst today. Bless us, Lord, as we continue to worship with in truth and in spirit with all the saints around the world and in heaven. Glory be to your name as we lift up our singing, the meditation of our words and the prayers that we do here. Bring honor and glory to your name and blessing your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's our fellowship time now to greet each other as because of the restrictions, we are not able to interact with each other, but you can say hi to each other from wherever you can. If you want to get up, that is okay, to refresh yourself. And also, everybody online. Good morning. Let me give you a snapshot, if you can see some of our...
Hey, everybody.
Yeah.
Hi,
Martha. We're depending on you for that, Eddie. What are you talking about?
We're going to have steak and potatoes.
This is the last Sunday of the month where we celebrate the anniversary and birthdays who have celebrated those this month. We used to have a lunch in the fellowship room every last Sunday after the celebration, but because of the situation we have frozen it. But hopefully if everything works out, Margaret, we will start in November, right? That's our prayer.
I've already prayed. He says so.
We can't wait to get back to that lunch, and I know how we all miss it, but we can pray about it, and hopefully we will be able to do it safely. We don't want to put anybody at risk. That's the biggest challenge that we have. So let us continue to pray for that. Hopefully the last Sunday or the Sunday before last, because of Thanksgiving, we should plan on something after service.
So, I think November birthdays would be an excellent place to start.
Oh, good. So there you go. You have November.
Yeah.
You got the message. I thought it was July, but it didn't work out. June. So if you are celebrating your anniversary, wedding anniversary, or any anniversary that you celebrate, or your birthday this month, please raise your hand or call out online. Penny, here.
Yay,
happy birthday.
Penny.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, Harry is waving.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, Harry. Happy birthday. Is it birthday or?
23rd of September.
All right.
My sister was the 12th, and Melissa Key is the 3rd.
Oh, all right.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, our second son, Timothy, is on the 28th, tomorrow.
I think Bob's wife, Kim, or Robert's wife, Kim.
Okay, Robert's wife?
I think Robert's wife.
Robert?
Yeah.
Is that true? Your wife is having a birthday?
She had it.
She had it? Okay. Happy birthday to her. Yeah, let us all turn to the hymnal, the blue hymnal on 403. Let us all pray that prayer together. For true life. Let us pray that prayer together for the blessing of these people. Govern all by thy wisdom, O Lord, so that my soul may always be serving thee, as thou dost will, and not as I may choose. Do not punish me, I beseech thee, by granting that which I wish or ask. If it offend thy love, which would always live in me, let me die to myself, that I may serve thee. Let me live to thee, who in thyself art the true life. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your gifts of love, life, and family, and friends, and fellowship, and church. Oh God, help us, Lord, to understand in Jesus Christ, you have given us more than we could ever deserve. Lord, we pray for those who celebrate the anniversaries and birthdays or any kind of joy celebration this month. We thank you for a new year in their lives. With the passing of time, God, you have increased and deepened their love towards you and others. Lord, we give you thanks for your past blessings and pray for continued blessings and mercies upon them. Renew your blessings, cover them with your love, O God. Comfort them with your joyful presence and confirm them in their hope. May your Holy Spirit strengthen them in faith and fill them with love and service for you and others, for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The choir will be singing an anthem now if you want to join. It's in a small red book, if you can find one. 238, Are You Washed in the Blood? But please remain seated.
Are you warm?
Amen. We'll have a responsive reading. If you are able, please stand. It is the insert that you can follow in the bulletin and also will be posted on the screen. Miss Lou will be leading that from online.
The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
But it was the evildoer that troubled me, who devoured my flesh and my adversaries and caused them to stumble and fall.
Though hosts encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident.
One thing I ask of the Lord, that I would seek after.
That I
may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life,
to behold the beauty
of the Lord, and to inquire in the Lord's temple.
The Lord will hide me in his shelter, and the days of trouble will conceal me under the cover of his tent, and will set me high upon a rock.
And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies, round about me, and I will offer sacrifices in the Lord's tent with shouts of joy. I will sing and pray melody to the Lord.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me.
Come, my heart said, seek the Lord's face, your face, O Lord, I seek.
Hide not your face from me, turn not your servant away in anger, for you have been my help.
Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. If my father and my mother should forsake me, the Lord should take me up.
Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies.
Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence.
Believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. It's our prayer time now. As a church family, we bring our prayers of blessings and joys together and thank God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives. And also we bring up our prayers of burdens and concerns to the Father in Heaven as a church family. So this is the time we share that together and lift all of them up to the throne of grace of God. God's promise is that He will listen to our prayers and hear our prayers. Martha has to mute. Okay, thank you. So God will answer our prayers according to His time and according to His will. But His promise is there to hold on to us. So let us trust in that promise that He will listen and answer our prayers. Let us bring our prayers of joys and blessings first, and we thank God. And then also we bring our prayers and concerns together and lift them up to the throne of grace of God. The regular prayer requests are listed at the back of the bulletin. If you want to use this as a list for your regular prayers, post them at your study desk or prayer desk or your kitchen, and then pray for these people and items on a regular basis. It's also posted on the screen. A few items to call out for prayer requests from this list, and I know Ernest have a hard time this weekend. Marcus is with him there. Please continue to keep the Howell family in your prayers as they are going through these difficult times with his health and also the family situation.
I'd like to add my uncle Stanley Marsters. He was helping his son and was carrying paint up the stairs. Long story short, he fell and broke three of his ribs and bruised his lung and is in quite a bit of pain in the hospital, but is recovering, but it's very painful, so pray for his recovery.
Stanley Marsters.
Marsters, M-A-R-S-T-E-R-S.
Yes, we had one of our very old friends and old neighbor who fell like that going down the basement on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And he broke his skull, and they could not find it on time, and the hemorrhage that happened, and he, yeah, the brain hemorrhage, and then he passed away after 2 days. Yesterday we went to the family and grieved with them. He was 64 years old, but you know, things happen. They need a lot of prayer. It was very unexpected.
My brother-in-law, he fell last week or week before last, and he broke his femur. He's 88 years old, and he's so ready to go spring forward to so.
What's up with this all fall happening this month?
Be very careful. Hold
yeah,
on the hand
be ready. Careful when you go up and down the steps.
Yeah.
Gail, the his name is Raju, R-A-J-U, and their family. The funeral will be sometime this next weekend. R-A-J-U, and family. His family needs prayer. Do you have any others to call out from the folks here or online? Jean, how is your friend doing after the heart transplant?
He seems to be doing quite well. He's weak, but it's a steady recovery.
Okay.
You get a new heart, and it's a pretty traumatic operation.
Absolutely, yeah.
He is progressing. He's progressing normally with all of the COVID. He's going to be in quarantine in Nashville for quite some time.
Okay.
His body's accepting the heart. He's doing quite well.
Okay, that is good to hear that. We'll continue to keep him in our prayers.
Jack, did you have a better week this week?
Not really. Yeah. Jack, thank you for being here today, and we'll continue to keep you in our prayers, and we know that you are in good hands. So trust the Lord that He will guide you as you take the continued dialysis that He's continuing with. And also we pray for, request your prayers for Martha. She's online with us. She's doing a good job with her recovery. Let us pray that God will continue to recover her health back, so she will be able to join us one day. That is our prayer. Eddie, thank you for being here, and you know, it's not easy to get here, but thank you for worshiping with us here today. James and Lou, are you all doing okay in your health?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank God for that. How about Harry and Jan?
Great.
Thank God for that. Is Bob and Kathy on? No, they are not on. Okay. We'll keep them in our prayers as well. I'm sorry.
Sprinkling the people that just lost everything they had in the fires and in the flood.
Yes. We'll keep them in our prayers for the various disasters that are happening around us. Let us also keep the essential personnel who are working behind the scenes when we are locked down in our homes. A lot of people are working, putting their lives at risk. The delivery people, grocery clerks, or trash collectors, or mailmen, a lot of people, and also the healthcare people like Kevin, who go to treat these people and help them every day. So let's keep our doctors and nurses and technicians in our prayers, our police, firemen. A lot of people are working hard outside to save us from getting this disease, and also fighting for our freedom and liberty. So keep them in our prayers. Also pray for our national leadership of the country as we are facing an election. Please pray that it will be a smooth election, a peaceful election, and a smooth transition of power, whatever way it comes out. But let us pray that God will be in control, and the devil will not have any part in it. A lot of people are confused. A lot of riots and issues are happening all around the country. But let us pray that God's peace will come and rule our nation as we go forward, as we have done in the past 2 centuries. So God is in control. Let us pray for that. Any other items of prayer requests or praise items?
Pray for the yard sale and that, you know, the rich people.
Yes, let us continue to pray for that yard sale and also the trunk or treat, right? Yeah, that's just trunk or treat.
The trunk or treat can be contactless too. You don't have to touch people. If you want to participate but don't want to have that interaction with people, you don't have to. You can just open your trunk and have, you know, the kids walk by and grab things. So you don't even have to interact with those people if you don't want to. But if you want to participate, we would love to have you. And the more people we have out there, the better it'll be.
Okay.
And remember, I'm buying breakfast Saturday for the whole bunch.
Doing what?
Buying breakfast.
Huh?
For everybody on Saturday.
And lunch too, right? No lunch?
Huh?
Thank you, Eddie. He brings a lot of energy to us. Let us pray. We will take this time, a few moments in silent prayer. At this time, you can bring out your unspoken prayers to the Lord. And then after that silent time, I will summarize with a closing prayer. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence in our midst today. Thank you for always being there, listening to our every groanings and every prayer that we make. Lord, we trust in your promises that you will answer our prayers according to your time and your will. Lord, we bring out all of those blessings and thank you for all the blessings that you give us every day, even when we don't know of it. The gift of life itself, and the joys and the blessings that come with are all because of your mercy and grace alone. Lord, thank you for covering us with your love and protection in the midst of all the dangers that we are living around in the midst. We look up to you for our needs at this time, Lord. You are the source of all good things and who desires only good for us. And we come to you and seek your presence. And also we bring out our burdens and concerns to your presence at this time, Lord. We come before you as broken people. Many of us are tired and many of us are sick in our congregation and the ones that we know. Lord, but you are the source of all healing and you know we know that you can make us whole. As the scripture says, even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. When we are lonely, you are our friend, O God. When we go through life's sorrows and loss, you give us comfort and peace. We lift up all those who need your care and comfort at this time, especially the ones that we have specially called out here today. We pray for the Howell family, particularly Ernest with his health issues and the family problems that they need to settle. And we pray that your presence be with them and comfort them with your peace. We thank you for your presence in their lives in the past and also continued a promise of presence in the future. We pray for all those who are affected by the various disasters like the fire and flood and all the riots happening around our country. We pray that you bring an end to all of this pandemic and bring peace to this land, Lord. We pray for Raju's family who are grieving at the death of their father, her husband. We pray that your comforting presence be with them and comfort them, especially their children as they are going through this difficult time. We pray for Lisa's uncle, Masters, who fell, and also people who have fell in this month. We pray that you will comfort them with your healing and be with them with your presence. Above all, fill them with your peace and the people who care for them. We also thank you for the continued healing for Martha and Jack, and be with them as they continue with their various procedures that they're doing. We pray for all of our national leaders, our president, the governors of the state, and various people who make difficult decisions. We pray for a peaceful election at this time and a peaceful transition of power, that will all be peaceful and bring prosperity to this country and to your people. Lord, we pray for all the essential personnel and thank you for their services and their commitment during this pandemic. We pray that you'll continue to bless them with the talents and the resources that they need, particularly the ones who are fighting in the front lines, the healthcare workers and our law enforcement, our military. We pray that you'll protect them. And we pray for a quick solution to this pandemic, Lord, in some form of vaccine or medicine. We know that you are in control, and at the right time, you will bring an end to this pandemic. Help us, Lord, as a church, as we look forward to serving you in this community. Guide us with your Holy Spirit as we plan on for several things, especially the yard sale that we are planning on October 24th. And also our desire and our prayer is to start our monthly lunch in November. We pray and commit everything into your hands. Let it be done according to your time, table, and according to your will. We pray that your name be lifted up in everything we do here. Bless us, Lord, as a church, as we step into a new church year, to be more faithful in the community, this community, and around the world for the mission that you have placed us to be. Bless us today as we worship together, Lord. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit, that we may glorify your name and we may be blessed by your presence and the power of your Holy Spirit as we go from this place. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now it's the offertory time as the ushers come and take the offering. Thank you. Loving God, we thank you for your blessing that you give us every day. You are the source of all that we have and all we are. Most and merciful God, we pray that you will open our hearts and minds to give to you for your the work of your kingdom these days. Help us, Lord, to understand in Jesus Christ you have given us more than we could ever deserve. We offer ourselves at this time and bring before you a portion of what you have given us. May we find joy as we freely give our prayers, our presents, the gifts and service for the support of this ministry of this church and around the world. We ask you to accept this offering of your people, and we thank you for those who were able to give joyfully and also pray for those who could not give today. Remember all of them in your love, O God, and bless and help us to use this offering to share your love to this world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing, sorry, for the reading of the word. From Genesis chapter 45, 1 through 8.
Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all of his attendants and cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him, because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the word that you have given us to be life and spirit in this world. Above all, we thank you for the living word, Jesus Christ, to send to this world so that we can be part of the word that you give us, Lord. Bless us as we come to your word and illumine our souls and open our hearts and minds to receive your word today. Help us to be humble before you and obedient to the commandments that you give us to follow, Lord. As we meditate on your word, let your name be glorified and our life be blessed. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know if I told you the story that a bus driver of a church and the pastor went to heaven after death, and they were standing in line to get into heaven, and the angel who was getting them, doing the check-ins, said, "Welcome, I understand you are the bus driver." The driver went in while the pastor was waiting in line. "And I understand that you are a driver. Since I am in charge of the housing, I'm going to give you that big mansion on the hilltop, beautiful one." So he got that mansion, and the preacher was still waiting in line and saw what the church bus driver got, and the pastor thought he was going to be a good deal for him, because if the driver got that kind of a big mansion, it is going to be a great, great mansion waiting for him. So he said, "I must be in line for a great castle." Anyway, when the pastor's turn came, and he said, "Welcome, I understand you were a preacher, and that's your cabin over there in the basement of that mansion." The pastor was really upset. It's nothing against pastors. In protest, the preacher said, hey, I work for God. You know, I was a preacher and I sacrificed my time and my family and I toiled and helped people to know God. And why does my bus driver get a mansion and I'm getting his basement? And the angel said, well, it seems that when you preached, the people slept. And when the bus driver drove, people prayed. So we get surprises in our lives, one way or other. Sometimes they are good, sometimes they are bad, and we don't like them. And these are like puzzles that I called today's message work of art or puzzle pieces. Our lives are made of puzzle pieces, many pieces that put together to make a beautiful picture at the end. Some pieces may be hard, and some pieces may be easy to find and put in place. I know when my boys were growing up, we have two boys, they're all grown up now, but they loved these jigsaw puzzles. We have boxes and boxes in my home. For some reason, they were into that during a stage in their life. I believe that is what they are into. So we have boxes and boxes of them at home. And the older one of them makes his choice based on the picture on the outside box, you know, how it looks and the beauty of it. And he looks at and makes his decisions based on the picture. And the other one, on the other hand, he looks at the complexity of the puzzle. There's like, you know, there's the complexity is listed, the difficulty is listed 1, 2, 3. Stage levels, and he looks at those stage levels and picks on based on that. So each one of us get to pick. If you go to a game store and pick one of these games, you can pick up whatever you want. That is the beauty of the puzzle games. But life is a puzzle game that you cannot pick what you want. You get the pieces as they come, and then you fit them together. And like it or not, some puzzle pieces are very hard and some puzzle pieces may be easy. And some of them are fun and some of them are not fun. Some get to solve the easy puzzles and others seem to get the challenging ones all the time. Don't you feel like that? We get always the challenging ones. But in either case, the potential beauty that it can become is rewarding. But when you first open the box, the puzzle looks nothing like the picture on the outside. It is simply a jumbled pieces in a bag. That's what you get. So if life is compared to a puzzle, it may be a simple puzzle with 100 different pieces, or it may be a complicated puzzle with 1,000 pieces. And there may be unpleasant or uncomfortable ones that you may like or not. In Genesis, as we continue with the study in the book of Genesis, we started from the beginning. It's the journey through Genesis that we are doing. We have talked about various things about the lives of Jacob, who was called and named as Israel, who became the father of the nation of Israel. He went to get, we all talked about a story in the past few Sundays where he was a cheater, a trickster, and a schemer. He cheated his father, his brother, and went on and ran away for his life to his mother's mother's home, to live with his uncle looking for a wife. And there also he was faced with his father-in-law Laban, who was more tricky and scheming than Jacob himself. I mean, so you cheated your father, going to a schemer and a bigger trickster who is your father-in-law. Instead of getting one wife, he ended up with two. The one wife he did not like, Leah, but she was the one who gave birth first with 6 children. The one he loved, Rachel, did not have children for a long time. And finally, you all know the story that he had to pack up and leave because of Laban's hard labor that he put on him. He packed up and left so he can come back to his homeland. Well, it's not easy to go back there because his brother, who was angry, who was waiting to kill him, was still there. He knows that. But he had no place to go. Either live with his father-in-law, who is treating him so badly, or go back and apologize and get settled with his brother. So he decided to go back home. Probably that is a good way to do it, right? To go back home and apologize and get settled. So he decided to do that. But on his way, we saw that he has a wrestle with God. And he wrestled and boxed with God at night. And he got the blessing that he will become the father of nations. And then finally, as promised, Rachel, his beloved wife, had one son. And then she also had another son later on, but she died at that second son's birth time. But the first son was Joseph. The loved wife, Rachel, first son was Joseph. And then several years have passed, and Rachel was very happy. Jacob was very happy because they have a son together in their wedding, in their marriage. And Joseph was about 17 years old when this incident happened, where he was loved by Jacob so much because, first of all, he was born when Jacob was very old, and also he was the son of his beloved wife, Rachel. So he loved him so much, and he gave him some preferential treatment, which is a lesson for us parents. We don't want to do preferential treatments to our children. It can end up in trouble. So the other children, particularly his half-brothers, Joseph's half-brothers, did not like him because his father gave him a lot of gifts. One of the greatest gifts he gave him was a great coat, a multicolored coat. Looked probably like a puzzle. Eventually it turned out Joseph's life became a puzzle. That's why I called this message and titled it Puzzle. But Joseph's life was full of strange events. Unexpected things happening. And he used to dream dreams. And the dreams were not pleasant to the brothers because many of the dreams that he dreamed was pointing to that he become greater than the rest of the brothers. And the brothers started hating him more. Not only that he dreamed, he had the guts to share it with their brothers. And they hated him more. So they were planning to do something and hurt him or kill him. So one day, his brothers were tending sheep in the desert, Joseph joined them. And then they used that opportunity to destroy him or kill him. But fortunately, one of the brothers, Reuben, interfered, and instead of killing him, they decided to put him in a big well, a well with no water in there, so they can spare his life. But around during that time, some Midian traders, merchants, were traveling through that area. So instead of putting him there and kill him in the well, they decided to trade him or sell him to these travel merchants. So they sold him to that merchants, and they took Joseph, a 17-year-old beautiful Hebrew boy, to Egypt. And he became, then he was again sold to somebody called by name Potiphar. You can read all of that in the chapters before that. And he was the captain of the Pharaohs at that time. And Joseph became a helper in the family of this Potiphar, who was the captain of the Pharaoh. Joseph lived there and helped out as responsibilities came to him, and he was very faithful in everything he did. He was not bitter because of what happened to him. And to the brothers who went back home to tell Jacob that they lost their brother, actually made up a story that a wild animal killed him, and they soaked his garments in blood, in wild animal's blood, and showed him that a wild animal killed him, and he's no more. That's what Jacob thinks, that his son Jacob, he loved so much, is gone. But Jacob is now in Egypt, serving in an Egyptian house, Potiphar's house, where he was blessed by God. And he continued to trust in a God that God is always good, regardless of what our circumstances turn out to be. And he was faithful in everything that he was given to do. So Potiphar made him the chief of the servants of his palace. And that he did a good job with that. And then Potiphar's wife made a trick on him and eventually had a problem with his wife, and she tried to trick him into getting her with him, and but he refused. So finally he ended up in prison because of that. And you can read all of that story. And he was still not bitter. It was not his fault. In fact, it was his standing for truth that made him go into that prison. Even there, God blessed him. And his fellow prisoners eventually became friends with him. And they were from the palace of the Pharaoh. And along this time, this is a long story, but I'm going to give it to you in a nutshell. Because all of these puzzle pieces are so important in Joseph's life when we look at his life. So Joseph, while in this prison, his fellow prisoners who were put in there were from the palace of the Pharaoh. The baker and the cupbearer were caught in some crime. And they were punished and put in prison, and they became the prisoners, co-prisoners with Joseph here. Even in that prison, he was faithful. So the prison guards made him chief of the prisoners there. I mean, look at how things turn out to be. Wherever Joseph goes, he is becoming the chief of whatever he is in, even in prison, or even in a servant role. Because of his integrity and his faithfulness and the commitment to the work that he was doing, he was raised to a level of management wherever he was. So finally, something happened with the Pharaoh. One day he saw a dream, and he was puzzled by the dream. And you know, Joseph is a dreamer, and he can also interpret and say the meanings of the dreams. And the prisoners who were with him knew that, because they had some interactions with them with some dreams. So the Pharaoh heard about Joseph's ability to say the meanings of the dream, and he called Joseph to come and interpret the dream that the Pharaoh had. And Joseph explained the dream and the meaning to the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh was very pleased. And the dream was that there were like seven animals who were lean and seven animals who were healthy, and 7 years of famine and 7 years of prosperity. That's what the meaning of the dream was. And the Pharaoh was very, very impressed by Joseph's explanation and the meaning, and he made him the prime minister of Egypt. What else can you ask for? A person who was traitor, or eventually decided to be killed by his brother, eventually by luck or fortune or God's blessing, was delivered and handed to the merchants, taken to a foreign land to be a servant in a captain's house, became chief there, and was put into prison because of a trickery of the lady there. And then by God's grace, here is a Pharaoh who dreamed a dream that only Joseph could interpret. What kind of puzzle pieces are these in one person's life? And throughout all these things, it was none of his faults that he went through all of these things. He was still a man of integrity, a man of faithfulness, a man of commitment to whatever he was given to do faithfully. And God prospered him in all this role, and he became the second in command to the Pharaoh of Egypt. And then the famine came, and as he predicted the meaning of that dream, there was a famine in the whole world at that time, and not only in Egypt, but because of Joseph's genius and his planning, he was able to gather all the grains of the land and have it in their storage, so that they were very well prepared for the coming famine. But Jacob, his brothers, and his father were in Canaan. They were also affected by the famine. And they heard that there is grain in Egypt. And they decided to go, or Jacob decided to send his children to get grain from Egypt. But never did they know that it was their brother who is the prime minister there, who is managing everything as chief of the land. They did not know that. They never expected in the worst dreams of their life. So here they are, the brothers came to collect this grain, and they did not know it was Joseph. Joseph recognized his brothers, and even at that time he did not have a pinch of bitterness to his brothers. What a marvelous life that is. If I could be like that, or all of us could be like that, even in all these strange puzzle pieces that he got, and the tough times and the hard times and the punishment that he got for nothing, all of that, when he looked back, he did not feel any bitterness towards his brothers or anybody for that matter. He was very, very faithful and a man of integrity in everything that he was given to do. So at this time, that is what we read today, that he finally disclosed himself to his brothers, telling him that this is Joseph, the brother you have sold to the Midian merchants in the desert. This is Joseph. I am in charge of this country here. You can imagine the fear that probably came into the brothers' hearts at that time. And they were trembled. They were shaken. And they thought Joseph was going to kill them. I mean, wouldn't you think? But Joseph said, "Do not be afraid or alarmed. God sent me here ahead of time to plan for this famine, to keep our family together from perishing." That was his attitude. Every event in our life, like it or not, God has a plan behind it. We don't like the pandemic. We don't like the things, the fire and the hurricanes and all those things. There are bad things. There is nothing really good to see in it. But at the end of all, there is a big picture that we can see through all these puzzles that are being put together. If you look at the outside of the box, there is a bigger picture on that box that we are shooting for. Some pieces may be hard, some pieces may be easy. Some of them are uncomfortable, some of them are very pleasant. But if you put all of these together and be faithful and be honest in what we are doing, in the places that God has given us to do, there is going to be a beautiful picture that will turn out to be at the end, on the outside of the box. There was a building construction going on, and then a person was watching this, people doing various jobs in that construction site, and this man approached a laborer who was laying bricks and asked him, "What are you doing?" Then the laborer said, can't you see what I'm doing? I'm laying bricks. That's what I'm doing." Then he walked over to another bricklayer along the same line. He's doing the same work, and asked him, "What are you doing?" And he said with pride, "I am building a palace." Both were physically doing the same work, but the first laborer was occupied with the present task and the other was concerned with the ultimate goal. Trust in God that our lives were made with a purpose. A life without purpose is like a race without a finish line. Let us run that race with a goal to finish. In the big picture, we all have something meaningful to add, and we all have our rightful place in the grand design. We all face all kinds of struggles and problems that can leave us puzzled by worry, anger, or sickness. We may feel broken, like the puzzle pieces in the bag, but God can always see the bigger picture, the picture on the outside of the box. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon says that God has made everything beautiful in its time. Although burdens of life will arise, God takes the broken pieces of our pain, our sadness, our worry, and our grief, and works in them to create something beautiful and whole. God knows the potential we hold. When our hearts are heavy and our strength is low, we can trust that with God, our puzzles will be completed for a beauty piece at last. We build our lives as you would build like a puzzle. Socrates said, "The world is a puzzle. No need to make sense out of it." But we want to make sense of our lives because we live only once. God has a plan for our lives and make beauty out of it. all the saints of faith who have gone before us had to have this puzzle pieces in their life they put together, like Joseph, David, Abraham, Moses. The finished masterpiece we would not know now, but there is a bigger picture that you and I are shooting for. The one thing I don't like to do once my kids put all of this together is to take them apart. It hurts me. So what many of them, what I do is to, when they put all this together, I put it on a big cardboard and paste them there. So I can put it on a wall or somewhere, I can enjoy it, and so many of them are sitting there. And once in a while I take them out and look at it. You know, the hours of work that they did, the easy pieces and the hard pieces, became so beautiful that you can look at it at the end and say, what a marvelous piece of work that is. The Old Testament character Joseph learned through the extreme difficult puzzle pieces in his life that God is good and faithful. The lesson that we learn is from these all life experiences is that always seek the best possible outcome. Concern yourself with what you can control. Look for the lesson to be gleaned, not what you may lose. Remember the wise words that passed down from generation to generation. This too shall pass, and this too will pass. So above all things, be patient and make the most out of our every moment. May God bless you with these words. Amen. Amen. The closing hymn is Because He Lives, 364 in the Blue Book. If you are able, please stand.
Life is worth the living.
people of God, God is a God of goodness. The things that could destroy us can become the building blocks in the journey of faith as we look for the hand of God in all the circumstances of our lives. And His promise is that He will be there with us to build those pieces together. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I don't know.